Masno.
The end of the Seder in Parashat Mishpatim, we have another description of the period of Matan Torah. And the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Ale Elai El Har, come up to the mountain. Ve'etna locha esluchai so'even va'atera va'mitzvah asher kusavti lahayraisam. The Gemara in Brachos darshes this Pasuk, brings the Pasuk in Daf Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Ve'etna locha esluchai so'even. So the Gemara says, Luchos Elo Aseret HaDibros. Luchos refers to the Aseret HaDibros, which were given to Moshe on Har Sinai. Torah ze Mikra. Torah is Mikra. It refers to Chumash, Rashi says. HaMitzvah zu Mishneh. Refers to Mishneh that was given to Moshe on Har Sinai. Asher Kosavti Elo Nevi'im Uksuvim. Refers to Nevi'im Uksuvim, which were given to Moshe on Har Sinai. It's a discussion exactly how they were given if the events hadn't yet happened. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky speaks about it in his Sefer LaTorah. L'hayroisam ze Gemara. The Gemara says L'hayroisam includes Gemara. Melamesh v'kulam nitnu l'moshe misinai. Everything was given to Moshe on Har Sinai. Chumash, Tanakh, Mishnah, Gemara. Everything was given to Moshe at that time on Har Sinai. I wanted to speak about a question which deals with the various categories of Torah that we find in this Gemara here. And there's also a connection to Purim, which is approaching. So the question is referred to as Kushas Ha'olam, the Welt's Kasha. This is the Kasha that all the Achronim speak about on the Gemara in Megillah. But it seems like the first person to ask this question was the son of the Noda Behuda, Rabbi Yaakov Kolanda, the son of the Noda Behuda, who asked this question to the Beis Ephraim, that's Ephraim Zalman Margolius, the Shar Ephraim, Mate Ephraim. And the background, one of the most interesting things about the question, it's in Beis Ephraim, that's the Ephraim Zalman Margolius, the Sefer, Sun Samaches, Samach Zayin, and Samaches. And the most interesting thing about the one of the most interesting things of the question is that the Rabbi Yaakov Lando was asking the question, seems to have written the question during his Purim Siddur. He says that it says in Shulchan Aruch that Lehudim Ois Torah, you're supposed to learn Torah a little bit before the Siddur starts. And it seems like even in the middle of the Siddur, he was composing these very complicated questions. And he writes the question, suggests an answer, and says that actually, I'll wait till tomorrow when Kasha Yofig Yeni, when the wine has left my system, I'll be able to think about it better. He writes this question, he sends it to the Beis Ephraim, who seemingly receives it on Purim as well. I'm not quite sure, maybe they obviously live together in the same town. And he also seems to have thought about it during his Purim, so then says, the next day I was able to think about it with a clear head, and this is my answer. So it's a very interesting shiva to read. I said, Arachaim, Samach Zayin, and Samaches. This is the question. So the Gemara Megillah Daf Gimel says, it learns, Darshan's a Pasuk in the Megillah, says, Mishpacha or Mishpacha of Ir Vo'ir. And we learn that even Mishpacha is Kayanim and Levim, even Kayanim and Levim who are busy in the Beis Mikdash doing the Avodah, they have to stop the Avodah, Mevatlim es Avodah, or by Nishmaya Mikra Megillah. And they go to hear the Megillah. There's no exemption, no Isaac permits for Potamina Mitzvah. When it comes to Megillah, everyone has to stop what they're doing, even the Kayanim Bavodasam, and come to hear the Megillah. The Gemara says, Mikan Lomdu Beis Rebbe, from here, the yeshiva of Rebbe learnt, that they're Mevatlin Talmud Torah, they're Mevatlin, they stop learning Torah, of Boyan Nishmaya Mikra Megillah, and they go to hear the Megillah. And this is how we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, that everyone has to stop what they're doing, Kainim Bavedosam, Tamidin Chachamim learning Torah, even if it's Torahsam and Nosam, which we'll speak about, everyone has to stop learning Torah to come and hear the Megillah. Now, Rav Yaakov Kolanda asked a question. So he says, why does the Gemara say Mevatlin Talmud Torah of Boy Nishmaya Megillah, that we Mevatl Torah, we stop learning Torah to come and hear the Megillah? He asked, surely listening to the Megillah is also Talmud Torah. The Megillah, Megillah's Esther, is one of the Sifrei Tanakh. It's in Ksuvim. It shouldn't be any different to reading other books of the Chumash of Nevi'im. So why does the Gemara say, Mevatlin Talmud Torah, we stop learning Torah with this bittul Torah to come and hear the Megillah? Surely coming to hear Torah, it's a Shemei Ha'Kaina, even without that listening to the words of Torah, that should be performing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So why is it's implied in the Gemara that there's some form of bittul Torah in coming to hear the Megillah. Okay, yeah, well, so we'll speak about that. So there are many different answers given. And as I said, if you look at the back of the Gemara Megillah, all Achronim seemingly after Rabbi Yaakov Lander, everyone asked the question. He suggests an answer that the Gemara, if you look closely in the Gemara, it says, "Bo'in lishmoya Megillah," and you come and hear the Megillah. He suggests maybe it's the coming, the packing up, the travelling to shul, arranging the costumes for your kids, whatever is involved in coming to hear the Megillah. There will be inevitably some form of bittul Torah in arranging everyone to come to the Megillah. He suggests maybe that's what the Gemara means, that not listening to the Megillah is the bittul Torah, but maybe the arranging and the travelling to the shul. That's one suggestion. He's not so happy with that answer. So the Beis Ephraim suggests two answers. He starts off by saying like this. Well, maybe we could say that, yes, Megillas Esther is part of the Sifrei Tanakh. How do we know that? So the Gemara in Megillah says, Megillas Esther Beruach HaKodesh Nemra. Megillas Esther was said with Ruach HaKodesh. The Gemara finds various proofs that it was written Beruach HaKodesh. And Esther said, Kisvuni Lazarus. Esther requested that Megillas Esther should be incorporated in the Sifrei Tanakh. Well, he says, yes, maybe it was written Beruach HaKodesh, but maybe it's not like other books of Tanakh, which are Torah itself, because they were written as Torah. Maybe Megillas Esther was given for the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. I was thinking at the end of the Megillah, it says, if you want to see what else happened in that period, Halahim Ksuvim, Al Sefer Divrei Hayomim, go and look in the history books. The Megillas Esther is not for the history, it's for the mitzvahs. So maybe he suggests Megillas Esther was written specifically for the mitzvah, and maybe it would be surprising, but maybe you could say, based on the Gemara, that there's no mitzvah of Talmud Torah in reading Megillas Esther. Well, he says, even if you say such a thing, you're going to come up with a difficulty from another Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, speaks about a contradiction in the Mishnah that says, one Mishnah says, Mafsikin, you stop learning Torah to Daven Shmoyne Esrei. Another Mishnah seems to say that you're only Mafsik Likriyashma, you only stop learning Torah for Kriyashma. And the Emaf Sikin Itzvah, you don't have to stop learning Torah for Shemoyne Esrei. Now the Gemara says, what's the difference? Now for a regular person, you stop learning Torah to Daven Shemoyne Esrei and to say Kriyashma. The Gemara says, for Rav Shimon Bar Yochai V'chaveirov, for somebody who's Torosai Umanosai, somebody who never stops learning, then he can learn, and he doesn't have to daven Shemoyne Esrei. He's only mafsik l'kriyashma. So just before I get to how this is relevant to the question, I just wanted to go a little bit into the details of what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai did. So the Gemara in Brachos, so the beginning of Ketzer Mevarchin, brings a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Yishmael. The Gemara says, on the one hand, you have to work, you have to gather in your grain. On the other hand, it says, you have to learn Torah. So the Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed He says, Rabbi Yishmael says, Hanig ben minag derech eretz, that you have to have minag derech eretz, you have to work, and the Gemara goes on to say that when you're osin retzayin shalmaka melachta nasis alidei acherim, HaKadosh Baruch will give you special bracha in your work if you learn Torah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no, if you're chayrish b'shas harisha, zareya b'shas zareya, if you're busy working in the field, Torah matei aleha, so what's going to happen to your Torah? So instead, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that you just sit and learn, and that's all you have to do. You don't have to do any ishtadlus in your work. And the Gemara seems to follow Rabbi Shmuel, because Abaye says at the end, Harba Osuk Rabbi Shmuel V'Osu V'Yodah. Many people followed Rabbi Shmuel, and they made a success of it. And the Harba Osuk Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai V'Lo Osu V'Yodah, it didn't work out for them. So although we seem to follow Rabbi Shmuel, but there was this concept of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, somebody who's Terosso, and also never stopped learning for anything, and therefore, he would not have to daven. Titus asked the question that we know in the Gemara and Shabbos, like Gadot of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai hiding in the cave. So it says that he used to come out to daven and put on his clothes to daven. The Gemara says, maybe that was just Kriyashma. He wasn't davening Shemoyne Esrei. So we see Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would stop learning Torah, mafsikin Torah, and he would read Kriyashma. So asks the Beis Ephraim, Ephraim Zalman Margulius, well, Kriyashma, we know, is Torah. It's Vayeschanan, it's Ekev, it's Shlach Lecha. what's the question? Why is there a havamina? Why is there even possibility that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai would not read Krishma? He's not. That's not called bittul Torah. He's just stopping learning one thing and reading Krishma, which is also Torah. So why is there even some type of havamina that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai would not read Krishma? Surely that is also Talmud Torah, and there would be no bittul Torah involved in switching from one area of Torah to saying Krishma. Not only that, the Gemara in Brachos says, Godol HaKorah Kriyashma, reading Kriyashma is greater, Yoseh Me'osek BaTorah, even for somebody who's learning Torah. Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud. So he asks, what's the Havamin is any worse than learning Torah? Reading Kriyashma, apart from the Torah, it's also performing a mitzvah. Of course it's going to be greater than learning Torah where there's no mitzvah sasei involved. So he answers like this. So his first suggestion is that when you read a parasha of the Torah for a different reason, so he suggests that maybe you're taking it out of being Talmud Torah and you're putting it into a different category. So maybe when you're learning Megillas Esther for the mitzvah of Megillas Esther, so although if you would learn it as Torah, you'd be performing Talmud Torah, but when you're learning it as the Megillah, you're then doing the mitzvah of Megillah, and you're reading it as a hilulah, as a halal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, the Gemara says one of the explanations in the Gemara that we don't read halal on Purim is because Kriyasa Zu Hilulah, reading the Megillah itself, is a form of giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So possibly when we read the Megillah, we're laying it as a halal, we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're not reading it as Talmud Torah. Therefore, it's not considered learning Torah. Similarly with Kriyashma, when we read Kriyashma for the mitzvah, we're not doing it as Talmud Torah, we're doing it for the mitzvah, and therefore that's not called Talmud Torah. There's a very interesting proof for this, which he brings. It's halacha, which is relevant, particularly on Shavuos. The Yerushalmi brings down that if you haven't said Birkas HaTorah, or maybe you're not sure if you've said Birkas HaTorah, you can perform the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah by having in mind, when you say Avo Rabo, or Avas Olam, Nusach Sfarad, you have in mind for Birkas HaTorah when you're saying that in the morning, and because it's got a similar sort of theme to Birkas HaTorah, you could perform the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah by saying Avo Rabo in the morning, if you have that in mind. Many people do it on Shavuos, if they stay up all night, and there's a suffix whether you say Birkas HaTorah again, so you have in mind when you say that bracha in the morning. Now, it's brought down that after davening, you should try and learn something immediately, in the same way that we learn straight after Birkas HaTorah. So you should try and learn immediately after davening, so that you are learning as soon as you can after saying your Birkas HaTorah. Now, the question is, one second, why do you need to learn anything after davening? You said Kriyashma immediately after Avo Rabo, and Kriyashma, of course, is Torah, three parashas from the Torah. So why do you need to learn extra after davening? Yes, so some say, Beis Yosef brings down that some say because you need different types of Torah, like we say a selection of Torah Shebiksav, Berkas Kohanim, and a Mishnah and a Braisa. But so that's one explanation, that just Torah Shebiksav is not sufficient. But the other explanation that Taz brings down, that you're saying Kriyashma as a tefillah, that you're not saying Kriyashma as learning Torah. The context of saying Kriyashma and davening is saying it as a tefillah. So again, we see that if you're saying a parasha of the Torah as a tefillah for a different reason, you haven't necessarily performed the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So going back to what we said before, so we said, why is it Mevatlin Talmud Torah Lishma Mikra Megillah? Because when you take a parasha of the Torah and you read it as a mitzvah, then it's possible you're not performing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and therefore there's a bittul Torah, and you would have thought that you shouldn't stop. Says the Gemara, no, we learn out to Kal Vachomer, you do stop learning Torah to perform the mitzvah of Megillah. Similarly with Kriyashma, even for Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who is Torah Soyim Nasu, doesn't stop for anything. Nonetheless, Mevatlin, that he stops learning Torah, and he reads Kriyashma, even though it's possible he's not performing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah at the time. So that's the first suggestion of the Beis Ephraim. And the second answer he gives on different lines, a very interesting answer, that's based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Gimel, speaks about the different categories of learning Torah. So we've mentioned there's Gemara, there's Mikra, there's Mishnah, there's Gemara. The Gemara speaks about people who learn Mikra, people who learn Mishnah, and people who learn Gemara. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Gimel, says that ha'osek b'mikra, somebody who just learns chumash, so mida ve'ena mida, it's a good thing, it's learning Torah. Says Rashi, mida he kitsas, it's a good thing, he gets schar, but it's not the best type of learning that you can do. But Mishnah, if you learn Mishnah, that's a mida v'noiklin aleha schar, that's a mida it's a good thing, and you also get more schar than learning just chumash, because that's Torah Shebal Peh, that contains halachos as well. And then the Gemara says, Gemara, ein lecha mida gedayla mizu. There's no greater thing than learning Gemara. Rashi says, because in learning Gemara, you understand Tame HaMishnah, you can understand how Mishnahs work. It's particularly in that generation, it was Torah Shebal Peh, you ensured that the Torah wasn't going to be forgotten. So the Gemara gives an order that there's Mikra is the basics, and Mishnah is greater, and then Gemara. The Gemara has a little bit of a discussion, because it also says, Olam have a rotz leMishnah, you should also run after Mishnah, and implying that Mishnah is greater than the Gemara. The Gemara says that was Bimei Rebbe, where everyone was running after Gemara and running after Mishnah, and therefore they had to prioritize Gemara. And so in different generations they have prioritized Mishnah or Gemara. But it seems to me the maskana of the Gemara is Gemara is better than Mishnah. Mishnah is more schar than Mikra. And it's very interesting. Gemara to see the Gemara continues to discuss that. So says Beis Ephraim, so we see that Mishnah and Gemara is greater than learning Mikra. He also brings the Gemara in Shabbos that says, the Gemara beginning of Kol Kisvei, which the 16th parak of Shabbos, discusses which Sforim can be saved on Shabbos in the event of a fire. The Gemara says, so you can save Nevi'im with Kairim Bahem, which we read the Nevi'im on Shabbos, Faftara, and you can also save Kesuvim, even though we don't read them on Shabbos. The Gemara says, what does it mean we don't read them? Well, on Shabbos, these have drushas in Halacha, Mishnayos, and Gemara, and therefore they wouldn't learn Kesuvim, because Kesuvim would distract people from the more important drushas of listening to the Halacha and drusha. So we see that learning Kesuvim is not as important as learning Mishnah and Gemara. He also brings that David HaMelech davened a special tefillah that he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu that when you read Tehillim, it should be as if you're learning Negoyim Va'alas. But Nefesh HaChaim points out, we don't even see if he was answered necessary. But we see the idea that reading Tehillim is not immediately the same level as learning Mishnah and Gemara. So therefore, says the Beis Ephraim, coming back to the two questions we asked, we can understand why it's called a bittul Torah to stop learning and listen to the Megillah, or to stop learning and to read Kriyat Shema. So yeah, it's true that you're reading a parasha of the Ksuvim, a parasha of the Torah, which is Torah, but at the same level, at the same time, you can call that a bittul Torah because it's not the same as learning Mishnah or Gemara. Because Mishnah and Gemara is Torah Shebal Peh, it's the halachas, that's a higher level than learning Mikra. And therefore, you could even call it a bittul, the Gemara needs to go out of its way to tell us that you do stop learning to read the Megillah, because otherwise I would have thought, since it's not quite on the same level, you wouldn't stop learning Mishnah or Gemara to learn Megillah or Kriyat Shema. In connection with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and the categories of Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara, so I wanted to share with you a very interesting thing I saw in the Shulchan Aruch Harav. He speaks about the Hasidim Horishonim. So in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Tamat Torah, he speaks about the Hasidim Horishonim who are discussed in the Gemara in Brachos, so the fifth Perek of Brachos. It speaks about the Hasidim Harishonim, the early Hasidim, who used to daven three times a day. And it says that Harishonim Shah Achas, they would wait 1 hour before davening to prepare for their Shemoneh Esrei. They used to take 1 hour over Shemoneh Esrei. and then wait 1 hour after davening Shemona Esrei when they'd finished. So they'd spend 3 hours on each tefillah, three times a day. So it was 9 hours a day of davening. And the Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Beis speaks about these Hasidim Harishonim. The Gemara asks, they're spending 9 hours a day davening. How do they manage to learn Torah, to remember their Torah? They certainly wouldn't do it if it meant that they would forget their Torah. And melachton heach nasis, how do they support themselves if they're davening 9 hours a day, presumably learning as well? How did they manage to support themselves? The Gemara says, because they're chassidim, teirasa mishdameres or melachton misbareches. Because they're chassidim, they have special siyata d'shmaya, they can remember all of their Torah, and they have special support in their parnasa. Now, the Shulchan Aruch Rav speaks about the mitzvah for hagisa b'yom v'layla, a mitzvah to learn Torah day and night. And he asked from the chassidim harishonim, so what happened to the mitzvah of v'hagisa b'yom v'layla? Okay, they were learning as well, and they remembered their Torah, but why were they prioritizing tefillah over learning Torah? And not only that, he doesn't ask this question explicitly, but we can ask, if Rav Shimon bar Yochai never davened, because, I don't know if he never davened, but certainly there were times when he wouldn't daven because Teiros Omnath, he was busy learning. So, which opinions did these Hasidim Harishonim follow? I mean, were they working? Were they following Rabbi Yishmael? Or were they completely dedicated to her like Rav Shimon bar Yochai? It didn't seem like they were working. It said, Melochon Misbareches. Does that mean they did a bit of work as well? It seems more that they didn't have to do anything and they received a special bracha. You would have thought they were following Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai didn't daven Shemona Esrei. So why were these Hasidim Harishonim spending 9 hours a day davening? Surely they should have been on the dark of Teiros Nosan. They should have taken a break for Kriya Shema and no more. So why were they davening Shemona Esrei in the first place? So the Shulchan Aruch Rav says in Perek Dalet Halacha Vav, he says that there. Pardon? Is Musaf? What did they do on Rosh Chodesh? Did they daven Musaf? That would be 12 hours davening. I don't know. It could be they were at the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Did they? I don't know. Did they daven Musaf when they could bring the korbanos? I'm not sure. Good question. Yom Kippur, I mean, they would have been 15 hours. I don't know. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav says there are two mitzvahs of learning Torah. There's the mitzvah of v'hagisa b'yom v'layla, of learning Torah day and night. And then there's the mitzvah of yediyas ha-Torah, of learning Torah, knowing everything that's written in the Torah. So he says, when it comes to the mitzvah of knowing all of the Torah, so these Hasidim Rishonim had, they'd done that already. They knew everything that was written in the Torah. So what was left? The mitzvah of Vagisa Vayom Avalai, learning Torah constantly, all day and all night. Well, for that, he says, the Hasidim Rishonim, what were they doing? They were connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Dveikus Amitis. And he says, Shekula Amitis had Dveikus Amitis, but Yira Va'ava Amitis. Having Dveikus, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Yira and Ava, with true Yira, with true Ava. So that is such a big mitzvah. That's Lipater Mitzvah Zu. That can patter the mitzvah of HaKisa Ba'yom V'Layla. And because they were involved in the mitzvah of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, trumped the other mitzvah, it overpowered the other mitzvah of Gisa Bayom Valayla, and therefore they did the mitzvah of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem rather than the mitzvah of learning Torah. And that's why this Hasidim Harishonim spent 9 hours a day davening. And possibly we could use that to explain why they were davening, even if Teiros Nosan, because it wasn't just tefillah, it was more than that, it was this mitzvah of Ava and Yira in the highest form possible, as the Shulchan Aruch Rav explains. Sorry? What was the hour after? Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering about that when I saw the Gemara. What do they do in the hour afterwards?
Maybe Tachnunim, like say, like in the kind of
there's still 15 hours in the day. After 9 hours, there's still 15 hours after that. Obviously, they did some burning.
Yeah, no, but he's asking, what do they do in the hour afterwards? And how is that Ava and Yira? I don't know. I'm not sure. Do they need to sort of come back down to earth? And is that included in the mitzvah of Ava and Yira? It's impossible without it. Or was there also some form of lesser tachanim after? I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay, just to continue this idea of Dveikus and Avon Yira, and to connect it to the idea before of interrupting one mitzvah for another mitzvah. So there's a very interesting Emek Bracha in Tefillah, when he discusses Tefillah. So the Emek Bracha, Baralev Pomeranchik, Talmud of the Briskarov, he brings a well-known Reb Chaim who discusses the nature of davening. And he uses it to explain a few very interesting halachic questions. He says like this. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik asks a contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam in one place says that you have to have proper kavana throughout Shemona Esrei. And if you don't have kavana, then you haven't davened and you have to daven again. On the other hand, the Rambam says in a different place that you have to have kavana in davening. And you should have kavana in the first bracha of Shemona Esrei in Ovos, that's the main bracha where you have to have kavana. And so, you know, so what do you have to have kavana for? The whole Shemona Esrei or just the beginning? Naimu bracha brings from Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, it's in the Sefer Reb Chaim al Rambam, that there are two different types of kavana. On the one hand, there is the kavana of standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we've said, the Ava, the Yira, recognizing that the Shechina is in front of you when you daven Shemona Esrei, that you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Reb Chaim, that kavana is essential throughout davening. And if you don't have that kavana, well, that's not called davening. That's just called muttering. In fact, the Rambam says, if you're not calm enough to be able to daven, you shouldn't daven. And it's a scary thing to read that, you know, sometimes you're davening and you get distracted. He says you have to think beforehand, will I be able to make it through Shemona Esrei? You have to, you know, realize what davening involves, speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that kavana of speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is essential throughout Shemona Esrei. On the other hand, there's the kavana of knowing what you're saying, Pirish HaMelech, knowing the words that you're saying, and for that you should understand the first bracha at least. For the rest of it, even if you can't understand it, it's sufficient to understand the first bracha. So Reb Chaim says the essential of davening Shemona Esrei is that you know you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Emek Bracha applies this in three very interesting ways. So I'll just go to the second idea that he says. He brings from the Chaye Adam that and Mishnah Berurah brings this down, if somebody's davening Shemona Esrei, and they have a shaila in the middle of their Shemona Esrei. Let's say they forgot the same talamata, they said the same bracha instead of the same talamata, forgot Yalev Yavai, Mashiv Horach, whatever it might be. They have a shaila in their Shemona Esrei, and they don't know what to do. So the Chaye Adam says, you are allowed to look up in a sefer in the middle of a Shemona Esrei to try and clarify what you're supposed to do. Not only can you look up the sefer, you can walk to the bookshelf, to another table to get the sefer, to have a look, because that is called Letzorech HaTefillah, that's called doing something essential for your Shemona Esrei. And in the same way we know with brachas, if you say a bracha and then interrupt for the food, that's not called an interruption. So too, for Shemona Esrei, if you walk to get a sefer in the middle of Shemona Esrei, if you need it for your davening, that's okay. Not only that, he says, maybe you could even ask a shaila in the middle of davening, ask a rav to find out what you should do, because maybe that's also called tzorech Shemona Esrei. He leaves that as a tzorech iyun, but this is how far the Chaye Adam takes this idea of asking for something in the middle of davening. And he brings a proof from a ritva, I think it's a ritva, who says that if you're davening Shemona Esrei, and you say Mashiv Horach in the summer, and you want to go back to Atar to Atah Gibor, and you say Baruch Atah Hashem of Magen Avram, and then you remember. So you should finish Lamdeni Chukecha. I think Mishnah Berurah brings this down. So you say Baruch Atah Hashem Lamdeni Chukecha, and then go back to Atah Gibor. And he says that's not called an interruption, even though you are, even though you're putting in a pasuk which doesn't belong in the Shemoneh Esrei, because that's called the Tzairech Tfilah. You don't want to say Hashem's name in vain. So you say Baruch Atah Hashem Lamdeni Chukecha. You say a pasuk, and then you can go back, even though you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. So that's the proof of the Chayei Adam, that you're allowed to interrupt, and we see even verbally, say something else in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, if it's L'tzorech Tefillah. Now says the Emet Bracha, the Emet Bracha argues with the Chayei Adam. And he says, no, you can't bring a proof from Baruch Atah Hashem Lamdeini Chukecha, because that is a Tefillah. That is, that, when you say Baruch Atah Hashem Lamdeini Chukecha, that's a pasuk from Tehillim, Kuf Yud Tes, and that's also a form of Tefillah. So you're in Shemoneh Esrei, you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you just switch from one word to another. Okay, those words normally don't belong there, but you're still davening a tefillah. Therefore, that's not called an interruption. But to be davening Shemoneh Esrei, the Shechina in front of you, and to walk off in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, that would be a hefsek. That would be an interruption, because you're leaving the Shechina, and the definition of davening Shemoneh Esrei is talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Shechina in front of you. Therefore, to take a walk in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, even if it's for the purpose of Shemoneh Esrei, that would be something that you cannot do. He doesn't say what you should do if you're unsure in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. I'm not sure what he would advise, but he says you cannot just go off in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei to find out the answer to your question. Another application of this, he says a very interesting thing. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Tes speaks about what happens if you forget Ritzei in benching. So if you forget Ritzei, and then you say Bainei Brachma Vishlaim Amen, and remember that you've forgotten Ritzei. So the Gemara says, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch Kuf Bei Ches, that there's a special bracha that you say as long as you haven't started Hatov Ametiv. As long as you haven't started the next bracha, you see the Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Tes, Shanos and Shabbosis Limnucha, a whole bracha brought down that you can say instead of Ritzei. However, once you've started the next bracha, you cannot anymore say this special bracha, and you have to start benching again. Now, the Rambam brings this down, and the Ravid asks the question. He says, one second, why is it different to Shemoneh Esrei? And with Shemoneh Esrei, you finish the Shemoneh Esrei at HaMavorech HaSamo Yisrael Bashal, and that's the end of the 19 brachas. Yet we're told if you forget Yale V'Yovah, and you're supposed to go back, so if you finish Shemoneh Esrei, you go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. As long as you're still in Shemoneh Esrei, you can go back to the bracha of Yale V'Yovah, which is Ritzei. Now, what's called still being in Shemoneh Esrei? So the Gemara says, even saying the Tachanunim at the end, even saying Elokai Netzar, that's called being in Shemoneh Esrei, because you normally say these Tachanunim, you normally say Elokai Netzar. So if you're saying Elokai Netzar, you remember, oops, I forgot Yale V'Yovah, you can go back to Ritzei, rather than going back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. So ask the Rav, so one second, if you're in Elokai Netzar, that's not called finishing Shemoneh Esrei. So how come with benching, we say that once you've started the bracha of Hatov HaMeitiv, You go beyond Bainei Baruch HaMashalim Amein, that's called having finished benching, and you have to start from the beginning. Why is that called why is it different to Shemoneh Esrei, where anything you add regularly is called in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? Surely, an addition which you say every day to benching should still be called in the middle of benching. So says the Emet Bracha, that there's a big difference. He says, what's based on this idea of Reb Chaim, that what's the definition of davening is that you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to the Shechina. So as long as you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're continuing Shemoneh Esrei. So when you say Elokai Netzar, this is a tefillah that you say every day. You're continuing to talk to the Shechina. The Shechina is still there. So nobody's allowed to walk in front of you. You can't take 3 steps back in front of you. The Shechina is still there. You're still continuing this tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in that way, you can prolong Shemoneh Esrei by continuing to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, if you, in benching is different, because with benching, you're not talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same way. And therefore, when you finish the bracha, That's it. You can't prolong benching in the same way, because benching is defined by the brachas that you're saying rather than by the talking to the Shechina. Therefore, when you move on to that next bracha, you're starting a new topic. That's finished benching. And that's the difference between benching and davening. Just go back to something I said before, another idea of the Shulchan Aruch Harav. So we mentioned the difference between Gemara, between Talmud, between Mishnah, between Mikra. At the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, he says, what's the definition of Talmud, of Gemara? So he said, the Gemara says, Ein lecha midah gedolah himena, there's nothing greater than Gemara. So if you look in Rashi, in a few places, Rashi says, Gemara is giving Tamei HaMishnah, because, explaining the reasoning behind Mishnah, because you cannot paskin just from a Mishnah. The Gemara in Sotah says, somebody who paskins from Mishnah is mevaleh ha'olam, is destroying the world. You need to understand the reasoning behind the Mishnah. Why? Says Rashi, if you paskin from one Mishnah and you don't know the reason, you'll compare one Mishnah to another question, and you haven't understood the reason properly, and you'll make a mistake in your comparison, and you'll end up paskining in the wrong way. Also, says Rashi, we don't paskin like every Mishnah. If you don't know the Gemara, you won't know which Mishnah is Yechida, which Mishnah we paskin like, which we don't. Therefore, you have to know the Gemara as well as Mishnah. So says Rashi, the Talmud is understanding Tamei HaMishnah. Now, Shulchan Aruch says, if you look in the Rambam, and this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Hilchos Talmud Torah, with Reish Mem Vav, I think it is. He says, the Gemara is Lahovin Davar Mitoch Davar, and to use the Yud Gimel Midah Shatorin Yedrashas, when understanding one thing from another, the Svara, and understanding how things are learned from the Pesukim. So he says, why does the Rambam learn differently to Rashi? So the Rambam is Lishitaso. The Rambam wrote Mishneh Torah. And in Mishneh Torah, the Rambam says, you can use my Sefer to paskin. You don't need to look at any other Sefer. You can look in Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah is the conclusion of all the Gemaras. You can paskin straight from looking in Mishneh Torah. Now, others argue that apparently the Rush in his Tshuva says you can't paskin from the Rambam. You won't understand the reasoning behind it. But the Rambam says you can look in his Sefer and you can paskin straight off. So, says the Shulchan Aruch Harav in the Kuntras Acharon at the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah. So we see the Rambam learns that you can paskin without knowing the reason behind something. Now, what about the Gemara that says you shouldn't paskin from Mishnayos? Well, he'll learn like the other explanation in Rashi, that you won't know which one is the halacha, which one's not the halacha, but if somebody tells you this is the halacha, you can paskin straight away without knowing the reason. However, Rashi argued with the Rambam. Rashi says you can't paskin without knowing the reason, and therefore he says, no, Gemara is something else. Gemara is understanding the reason. Without understanding the reason behind something, you can't possibly give a psak halacha. Just to finish off with an idea of the Meshech Chochmah, this week's Sedra. So we start off with the Pasuk, the Torah at the end of Parashat Shvatim, Ve'etnach, I'll give you the Luchos Asher Kosavti Lahorisam, which I wrote down to teach them. So the Meshech Chochmah says, well, where was it written? At the time that Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, it wasn't written down. So it says the Meshech Chochmah, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and Chazal tell us, if the Torah hadn't been given, we'd be able to learn Torah we'd learn sneers from cats, we'd learn all the good middas from what was going on around us in the world. So says the Meshech Chochmah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah into the world that we see around us. Not only that, the Gemara says the Torah is choros al aluchos, the Torah should be engraved on our hearts. That the Torah is written in the neshama of every yid, that we have the Torah written inside of us, and our job is to access the Torah through, apart from learning the Torah once the Torah has been given, but seeing the Torah in the Bria, seeing the Torah, connecting with the Torah which is written in our neshamas, and in that way we can connect with our Kodesh Baruch Hu through our learning and through our tefillah, which was zeichet all the brachas which was discussed in the Gemara. Yeah.